This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
And you know what? I hope I provoke a few of you tonight to flip your switch and get fed up with living in the darkness and having your lights on dim and say, it's time for me to get out in the world and shine brightly and let people know that I am not ashamed, that I am a believer in Jesus Christ, and I am going to do all I can to make a difference in the world. Last night you heard the trumpet, and we used it to herald good news. But there's another thing that the trumpet is used for that I think is important, and that is to wake soldiers up every morning in the armed forces. And the Bible says that we are soldiers in the army of God. Amen? Okay, well, about 12 of you lifted your hand. We are soldiers in the army of God. Amen? And soldiers need training. And as soldiers in God's army, we need training. And we also need to wake up. Now, that may not be every single person here, but when we look at the church as a whole, to be very honest, the church is not greatly impressing the world. And when I say the church, I'm not talking about your church or my church or somebody else's little building somewhere. We are the church. It's every believer everywhere. And if we're going to get God's job done, every single one of us has to be passionate, on fire, full of zeal, ready to say goodbye to ourselves and ask God what he wants us to do and what our part is in the times that we're living in. So my trumpeter is going to come again, and he is going to wake you up. Go ahead, Brian. All right, well, you did good, but you didn't do what I wanted you to, and that was get up, so he's going to play it again. All right. Now, Isaiah 60, verses 1 and 2. In the NIV edition, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. You see, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the people, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. You know, we need to stop waiting for God to do something, and we need to realize that he has already done something on the inside of us. We just need to wake up to the fact that we have got everything that we need living on the inside of us to make a major difference in our little part of the world if we'll just get our minds off of ourselves long enough to realize there's a greater purpose going on right now than just what I think I want and what I need. And you might as well get happy, because I'm not going to shut up tonight until you do. Arise and shine are words that call for a change. Nothing in the world is going to change if the individual people in the world don't change. And God has changed me so much, but I'll tell you what, I am not satisfied. If you want to know the truth, yes, Christians should be content, but that doesn't mean that we are satisfied to kind of just be okay and maybe mediocre and just kind of, you know, barely enough, and long as we're as good as everybody else, that's good enough. I want to keep growing, and I want to keep changing, and I want to keep helping more people, and I want to keep getting closer to God, and I want to know him better every single day of my life. It's one thing to be satisfied and content with God. It's another thing to be apathetic and think you don't need to keep pressing on with the Lord. I'll be honest with you. I have times, I haven't had one in a while now, but a couple of years ago, I went through a time where I was just weary. Just, you get tired of the world, you get tired of working, you just get tired of the same thing all the time. You know, you may look at something like what we're doing and think, oh my, it must be amazing to get to be up on that platform. Well, this is a very minute part of everything that it takes to come up here for this little bit of time to do this. And it's hard work, and I spend a lot of time by myself, and I'm not feeling sorry for myself at all. But what I am saying is, by the time you've done this 42 years, this is not my first party. It may be yours, but it's not my first one. And so, you know, I've been doing this a long time, and I just reached a point a couple of years ago where I was just like, you know, it's just like, and man, it scared me, and I started praying every day. God, give me passion, give me zeal, give me enthusiasm, light my fires again. I am not going to get old and worn out. I'm not going to get tired of doing the greatest thing on the earth. And you know, we all have times in our life when we've got to stir ourselves up and remember who we are and what we're called to do, and not just get tired and kind of float backwards like the rest of the world does. Amen. Well, what is it that you want me to do? Well, one thing I don't want you to do is nothing. There's a lot of things we can do, but nothing isn't one of them. Nobody can be happy and sit around and do nothing all the time. It's just not possible. In the Amplified Version, Isaiah 60, verse 1 says, "Arise from the depression and the prostration in which circumstances have kept you." I like that. Prostration means laying down. And I'm not talking about laying on your couch. I'm talking about laying down on the inside. You see, when I started feeling that weariness, it wasn't in my body. It was in my soul. And I had to get up on the inside. That's where we need to make sure that we stay on fire, is on the inside. And that every day we're praying for God to use us and to let our light shine. You know what? God has got his people everywhere. There are some of us everywhere, in every company, in every school, in every marketplace, in every neighborhood. We are everywhere, and God has us strategically placed for such a time as this. But what we have to do is turn the lights up. You know, if it's dark in my house, I can't just pray the lights on. I have to go flip the switch. And you know what? I hope I provoke a few of you tonight to flip your switch and get fed up with living in the darkness and having your lights on dim, and say, it's time for me to get out in the world and shine brightly and let people know that I am not ashamed, that I am a believer in Jesus Christ, and I am going to do all I can to make a difference in the world. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to be religiously obnoxious and that we're going to just preach to everybody we see. As a matter of fact, I don't recommend that. What I recommend is, instead of telling everybody about Jesus, we get out there and act like him and let our lives be a sermon. I think the worst thing we can do is be hyper-religious and have bumper stickers all over our car and a pound of Christian jewelry hanging around our neck, and then get out in the world and act like everybody else out there. We need to let our lives be a sermon. I've got more to say tonight than I probably have time, so I better get with it. Have your circumstances been keeping you down? Have you been discouraged? You know what? It's time to stir yourself up. Quit waiting for somebody else to come along and make you happy. Decide you're going to be happy. Quit letting some other sour person steal your joy. Make a decision that you're going to have joy no matter what everybody else around you wants to do. We don't have to let everybody else determine what kind of a day we're going to have. We cannot control all of our circumstances, but we can control ourselves. Well, no, Joyce, I can't help it. I just can't help it. I'm going to quickly tell a story that I've told several times, but I can't pass it by. Many, many, many years ago, thank God he's changed me and I don't do this anymore, but I used to just have temper tantrums. I'd feel sorry for myself. I mean, I wasn't abusive. I didn't hit my kids or anything like that, but I yelled a lot. Get your toys out and play. Clean those toys up. Why are you making a mess? Why don't you ever have How many of you know when you're unhappy on the inside, you usually take it out on somebody that doesn't have anything to do with it? And then I would feel bad because I acted that way, and then, oh, God, I'm so sorry. I just can't help it. I don't know what's wrong with me. I just lose my temper. Well, you know, one day I was in the middle of one of those temper tantrums and hollering at my kids for something that really wasn't their fault, and the doorbell rang, and I kind of peeked out the window because I really wasn't wanting to see anybody, and lo and behold, it was my pastor. You never saw anybody get control over themselves as quick as I got control over myself that day. I mean, I went from screaming at the top of my lungs to opening the door, Pastor, praise the Lord. It is so nice of you to stop by. Oh, yeah, the kids are playing in their room. Well, that was probably an outright lie. They were probably in there crying. But you know what the lesson was for me? Stop making excuses, Joyce, and saying you can't control yourself. Because you can if there's somebody around that you want to impress. We got a lot more self-control than we think we do. We just don't always want to use it. Amen? We need to get up on the inside. There's a man in John chapter 5, which I'm sure most of you will be thankful I'm not going to preach on tonight because I've worn this guy out. But he lay by the pool of Bethesda for 38 years waiting for a miracle. 38 years. And the Bible says Jesus noticed him lying there in that condition and said to him, how long have you been in this condition? And in the Amplified Bible, it says that he did it to shock him into realizing how long he'd been there. And sometimes we need to have a shock. How many days this year have you wasted feeling sorry for yourself, maybe? How many days this year have you spent the whole day angry? How many days this year have you been full of unforgiveness about something that you should have just let go of alone? How many days have you spent being offended over something minor that you think somebody did to you that they don't even know that they did? I'm going to tell you something, and this is the truth. The older you get, the more you realize that you don't have as much time to waste as you did when you were 20. And if nothing else, I would like to provoke you tonight to say, you know what? I'm not going to waste another day of my life being upset over something silly that I can't do anything about. Amen? I'm not going to waste any more of my time being upset because everything didn't go my way. I'm not going to spend my days angry. I'm not going to spend my days mad at somebody who did some little thing to me. I don't have any time to waste. I'm a soldier in the army of God, and I'm going to get out of my house, and if I can't do anything else, I'm at least going to put a smile on my face and let somebody know that Jesus is alive. Amen. He said to him, how long have you been in this condition? The Bible says he had a deep-seated and a lingering disorder. So that means that he had been really sick for for a really long time. And I'm sure he was really, really very tired of it. But you know what he was doing? He was laying there waiting for somebody else to come along and solve his problem. And Jesus is the epitome of compassion. Nobody was more compassionate than Jesus is. And he didn't look at that man and say, "Oh, you poor man, I feel so bad for you. You've laid here 38 years and nobody has come to help you." Jesus looked at him and said, and there is an exclamation mark after this in the Amplified Bible, Jesus looked at him and said, "Get up!" Exclamation mark. Get up. I love that. And he wasn't really necessarily talking about getting up physically, although the man did that, but he could not get up physically until he got up spiritually. He had to get up on the inside. And I want you to listen to me tonight. No matter what kind of a circumstance you have, no matter what your history's been, no matter what somebody has done to you, no matter how much the devil picks on you or how many people don't like you, if you decide tonight, "I am not going to live like this anymore, lying down on the inside, being miserable. I am going to get up and make something out of my life," nobody can hold you down. Nobody can hold you down. And I know that for a fact because you know my background. And I laid around for a lot of years, not physically, I was always a hard worker, but I was always laying down on the inside, feeling sorry for myself, angry about my past. And you know what? It's time for you to walk away from that and realize that the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, your light has come, and it's time to do something with your life that's worth doing. God's a fan of light. It's the first thing he made. Darkness covered the face of the earth, and God said, "Let there be light." Jesus is called the light of the world. The Bible says that those who sat in darkness when Jesus came saw great light. When we're born again, we're filled with light. When the light comes, things that have been hidden in darkness are exposed. It's amazing the things that you don't see before Christ that you do see once you receive Christ. It's wonderful to have the light of God on the inside of us. And then Jesus said, because whatever he gives to us, he expects to go through us. Did you hear me? God loves us. He wants that love to flow through us to other people. He helps us. He wants us then to help other people. He fills us full of light. Now look what he says in Matthew 5:14. "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a peck measure, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house." Verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see two things." You don't want to miss these two things tonight. Because you say, "Well, how can I let my light shine?" Well, you know me, I like the practical side of the word. I'm not just going to say to you, "Let your light shine," and have you leave here and not have a clue what you're supposed to do. Here's the way you let your light shine. "Let your light so shine before men that they might see," number one, "your moral excellence." Everybody say excellence.
Excellence.
Say it again. Say it again. We do not live in an excellent world today. It is very difficult to find anybody today that is excellent or does anything with excellence. But we cannot be like everybody else. I want you to make a decision tonight that because you serve an excellent God, you are going to be excellent in everything that you do. And an excellent person is not somebody who does everything perfect, but whatever they do it the very best that they can do it. And I want you to listen to what I'm going to say. They always do what's right, especially when nobody's looking. Not just doing what's right in front of people to get their praise and appreciation. I believe what we do when nobody's looking is who we really are. I think I better say that again. I believe that what we do when nobody is looking is who we really are. But it's about more than just going to church and going home and going to church and going home and going to church and going home. We talk so much about going to church, going to church, going to church. And I'm all for going to church. But what we need to do is go to church, and then what we learn, take it out with us everywhere that we go. And I really believe if every believer would get out in the world and just really just shine. Just shine. Just be excellent. Just get busy being good to people. Because it says, let your light shine before men that they might see, number one, your moral excellence, and two, your praiseworthy, noble, and good deeds. Two things. How can you let your light shine? Find somebody to help. Be good to somebody. And make a decision tonight that you're finished with sloppiness, you're finished with mediocrity, you're going to be an excellent person, and you're going to do it for God, because He is an excellent God, and you are not going to be anything other than the very best that you can possibly be. Do we even know what that means, to be excellent? It's not perfection, but it does mean that if you have a job, you're going to do the best job that you can. It means little things like you're not going to sit at work and do all your personal stuff on the computer when nobody's looking, and then when the boss walks in, you're going to act like you're working. You may not like everything I say tonight, but if you'll apply it to your life, you're going to love it later. Because see, here's the thing. Your boss may not be looking, but God is. God is. Somebody said to me, what was Christine Kane? We were at lunch the other day, and she came in a day early to spend some time with me, and because I'm about 25 years ahead of Chris in age and experience, she likes to pull everything she can out of me every time she gets an opportunity. And that's a wise thing to do, to be honest. It's always good to get what you can from somebody who is at least supposed to know more than you do. And she said to me, what do you think has kept you on the straight and narrow, kept you in the place that you're in all these years that you haven't, you know, you stay the same. You just keep doing what you're supposed to do. And it didn't take me but a minute to answer her. And I said, because I have the fear of God in my life. And you know what? That's something else a lot of people don't even know anything about anymore. It's not a very popular message today to get up and preach on the fear of God. I'm not talking about being afraid of God, but I'm talking about loving Him enough and respecting Him enough that you will do what's right even when you think no person is looking, because you know that God is everywhere all the time and He's always looking, and we live for Him, not for people. I have a reverential fear of God. I can promise you that I will never get in this pulpit and preach while I'm at the same time mad at somebody. I won't do it. I have too much respect for God and too much respect for what I believe is a holy call to get up here in that condition and act to you like everything is perfectly all right when I know in my heart that I've got something that I need to go straighten out with somebody. And you wouldn't know it, but God would know it, and I would know it. And that's where we have to get to. And that's where I had to get to in my life in order for me to see the kinds of things happen that I'm happening today. That's why I'm still here after 42 years, still doing what I'm doing, because I'm not going to play games with God. And we have to realize that we cannot care what everybody else is doing. We have to go the extra mile and do what God is telling us to do if we are the only person on the planet that does it.
Well, God has definitely called us to be lights in a dark world. You know, it's our job to turn the lights on so we can let it shine.